Referee brings an incredible contest to an end. There's a big embrace with Jürgen and Unai Emery. Jürgen will have mixed emotions here. He'll know really that with 4 minutes to go, we're 3-1 up, the game's gone, Villa have gone, but we made an elementary mistake that gave Villa hope, and then they scored again. They might have won it, but for a brilliant save by Alisson. But the way the game started, there was a comical own goal by Emi Martinez. Elliot involved in the build-up. Cross comes in from the right. It hits Pau Torres. Martinez, a simple catch at the near post, makes a right mistake, lets it go, fumbles it over the line for a goal. Tielemans equalises. Then Cody Gakpo scores to put Liverpool 2-1 up after Joe Gomez is denied by Martinez. But then Liverpool in the second half go 3-1 up. The excellent Jurel Quanta, brilliant header from Harvey Elliott's free kick. But then a bad mistake involving Van Dijk giving the ball to McAllister, edge of his own box, made a mistake. John Durant scored. Durant scored again. So a game where we had and probably should have won this one, really. We've let it go. It finished Villa 3, Liverpool 3.
That was our commentator Steve Hunter's summary of a rather eventful evening at Villa Park in Jurgen Klopp's final away fixture in charge of the Reds. You are listening to The Reaction with myself, Becky Davis. Over the course of this podcast, we'll bring you the thoughts of the boss, Harvey Elliott, and Jurel Quanta as well on his first Premier League goal, as well as analysis from former Liverpool women's striker Tash Dowie. First, though, to ex-Reds midfielders Ronnie Whelan and Charlie Adam, who joined me in the LFC TV studio after full-time. Chaotic, frantic and ultimately, Ronnie, pretty frustrating. That should be 3 points.
How many times have we talked about it this season?
Probably too many, I think, unfortunately.
It's unbelievable how we keep throwing away leads when we are cruising. You know, you go back to Man United in the league, Man United in the cup. You're cruising through games at 3-1. So your two most experienced players are Van Dijk and McAllister. And you're thinking between yous, you can't get this wrong. But then it's a slow ball into McAllister to get, for this is the third goal for Villa, a slow ball into McAllister. McAllister takes his time to try and get it under control, taking away this score. Now you're under pressure straight away. We have to start learning. God, we should learn by now how to kill games off. Just finish it off.
Yeah, it was a strange one, wasn't it? Because you and I were just talking then off air, and it felt like the sting had been completely taken out of it. Liverpool were just playing it out towards the end, and it looked like it was going to be very comfortable.
Yeah,
and then, as Ronnie says, just a single thing can flip it.
I just think it's a moment of lapse concentration from McAllister. Mm. It's his poor first touch. Van Dijk actually does the right thing to play it into him, but it's his turn, his body shape's wrong, and he's probably thinking, where's my next pass? Instead of actually getting control of it, he loses control of it and then they go and nick it. It's the Premier League, the game's changed quickly, and you know what I mean? You could be 3-1 up, and if you don't defend and you're no compact, then you can end up 3-3. It's a huge disappointment because you've been in that position so many times. And looking at that table, the amount of points Liverpool lost, you know, you're going into the final day probably looking, thinking, we've got a chance of winning the title if things actually take care of itself in the last few weeks. So that'll be the frustration bit in terms of where they could have been. But overall, if you concede three goals away from home, you give yourself a mountain to climb. And 3-1 up, it could have been game over, and it should have been game over.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when you say that, you both say about being in that position too many times, does that almost enter the players' heads, do you think, when it goes to 3-2 and it's almost like a psychological barrier almost of, is this going to happen again?
Yeah, I would think so. Once it goes to 3-2, then you start worrying, oh no, we're under pressure again. Can we hold out? We've got to hold out. Then you start making mistakes, giving the ball away in bad areas, which we did a fair bit tonight, actually, when they hit us with counter-attacks, Villa. But I don't know what you do. You just get the season out of the way and then let's go next season and see if it all changes. But you cannot go through so many games in a season where you are really, really cruising and then come away with a point or no points whatsoever.
But the thing is, the goal, it was never as if they were cut open, was it? It was just the lad tries to play a pass, Duran sticks a knee out and it ends up going in the back of the net. It's just unfortunate to concede the third goal, but there's a whole combination of everything going on with that losing the ball midfield, getting caught. Again, sometimes the old school, sometimes just go and turn teams and put it in behind and see the game out and, you know, make sure you win the game, and then everything else will take care of itself. But like you say, the time you add pressure to yourself, they get the goal, they get a lift at 3-2, and Villa Park's bouncing because they think you've got a chance, and they feed off that momentum. Mm. And ultimately, you know, I think when you make the changes that you make, the momentum swung away from Liverpool at that time.
Yeah,
with 15 minutes to go.
Four substitutions, I think, on the 75, 76 minutes, which obviously at that time it looked like they were in a perfect position to make those changes.
But there was also changes against Tottenham as well later on. And that Tottenham come and scored two against us. But before that in the season, all the changes have been magnificent. Like they've scored so many goals coming off the bench, Liverpool players, it's unbelievable. But of late, changes are made, the team just go flat a little bit, the pace is not the same as it was when the players were on beforehand, but I thought the likes of Endo needed to come off because he seemed to be getting very, very heavy-legged. But the changes haven't helped again.
I don't think it's not the decisions. The players that are coming on are not making the impact that they should be making. So it comes down to the subs as well. Jurgen, ultimately you've got five subs to make and you want to make it and freshen up. He's done the right thing. 15 minutes to go, Villa Park's a tough place to go, the lads have worked hard. But the subs have not made the impact that he's wanted and they've not got up to speed as quick as they can. And when you don't get up to speed in the Premier League, the game changes quickly. And I think that's what's actually happened from them. The boys that come on have not impacted the game the way that the lads have started the game.
Yeah, it's an important distinction to make. That's not the decision to make the substitutions, because obviously whoever's on the pitch, if you've got a full 11 out there and you're 3-1 up on 85 minutes, you should not be drawing 3-3.
No, most definitely. I don't think... as Charlie said earlier, it's a lapse in concentration from everybody that's on the pitch at that moment in time. I am saying the substitutes going on have lessened it because they weren't up to the pace, the likes of the players who'd gone off at the pace of the game. So we're looking for them to get into it, and they haven't. And then they go and score the two goals that gets in the draw.
I mean, to try and be positive, Liverpool played a lot of nice football tonight. I think just as we're clearly alluding to here in the end of the game showed, there's still that defensive fragility about them that you see at quite a few moments in the game.
Yeah, because you wouldn't expect Liverpool to be conceding three goals, wouldn't you? And, you know, the season seems to be petering out, and that's the probably disappointing for the group, for the supporters, but also the players. The season is going slowly to the end. We're normally recently Liverpool been at the top end of the league, still fighting for the title in the last couple of weekends. And it'll be something they have to look at. And like Jurgen says, unfortunately for him, it's not his business now. The players will go and they'll enjoy next weekend. They'll want to win, but somebody else's problem come next week. And whoever is coming in, they have to try and find a solution and freshen the group up and see where they're at. But there's been a long season for some players, and you know, it's obviously a tough way to end the season in terms of the results. But the performance last week at Tottenham to then, for a large spell tonight, was really good. And unfortunately, you still end up drawing the game, which is a blow.
It kind of feels like what we've seen tonight is almost a microcosm of the entire season, if you like, encapsulated in one game.
I said to Steve Hunter in commentary, I would have took a draw at Villa before the game. I seen Villa's team and I thought, they've got a lot of big fellas on here, a lot of good players, a lot of quick players up front. So I would have accepted a draw before the game. But it was just when it's gone on. We did not play badly tonight.
No, not at all.
We've gone and we should have won the game. We should have walked the game, really. So all that is positive. But giving the two late goals away by just being really, really sloppy. Sloppy plays come in and then Villa get the goal and then their heads are up and then they go on and they push at you again and then they get the third one. And you just feel deflated. And I'm sure the players feel the same.
Yeah.
But it's just a bad, bad 3 points to lose.
When you say there, Charlie, obviously it will be somebody else as surreal as it sounds to say, other than Jurgen Klopp, who looks at this in just over a week's time. Whoever the new manager may be, you would assume he will be watching these games now. So what do you think that they will be looking at and thinking, you know, how do you go about
solving this? Well, I discussed it today in an interview I'd done about Jurgen, is that this team could play totally different next year. We don't know what this team's going to look like next year. The players, what the new sporting director coming in, Michael Edwards, Julian Ward, you know, people like that coming back into the football club. This team could look totally different next year. The build-up slow, it could be slower build-up, they could be patient, they could be sat off the games. We don't know, but what we know is now that this team has been fantastic for a long, long time. And it's just coming to the end of a season. You can see that tonight. To lose the two goals to a little bit of sloppy play will be frustrating. And, you know, Jürgen would want to go out without two wins, unfortunately. He'll have to go and win Sunday and get over that 80-point mark and enjoy the moment. But any professional will still be disappointed in terms of how they finished the game tonight.
Yeah, I was going to say, what will the lads be feeling like in the dressing room now? Because obviously, as we say, it feels like a real sort of missed opportunity, no matter what happens next week, to finish hopefully with three wins and on a real high.
Well, McAllister will go straight in and say he's extremely sorry for giving the ball away, which gets everybody under pressure for the last 10 minutes or 8 minutes, whatever it was. But they'll all be very, very frustrated as well, like us. They'll be sitting there going, why does this keep happening? How can we keep letting goals in? And they'll look at it between themselves. They'll talk about it. And hopefully they can come to, for next season, hopefully they can come to a way of not happening. The new manager that's coming in, they say he plays with two defensive midfielders. Does that help at a time like this in the game? With two defensive midfielders, there's a little more people behind the ball than going gung-ho as we do an awful lot in Liverpool. When it's where we should cruise through it, kick balls into corners, do whatever you need to do to go and win the game. But the teams he plays a different way. So maybe defensively we may be stronger, don't give goals away as easily as we do now.
Yeah, it's certainly going to be a big summer, isn't it? We are working on getting you some reaction from Villa Park. That is on its way. Before that, though, we'll go through the goals and incidents. There are quite a lot of them to talk about. Firstly, I mean, it couldn't have got off to a more perfect start. Emi Martinez would disagree, but, I mean, that was a very curious mistake by someone who, we were speaking pre-match, is without doubt one of the best in the Premier League.
Yeah, it seems to be that the deflection just got him thinking a bit different or got it wrong. But then again, it was nearly in his arm still.
Yeah.
Popped out, and then he tried to grab it again, knocked her in the goal. It was a comedy.
I think that if you look at the first goal, I think it's similar to what McAllister... Martinez is probably thinking about catching it and thinking what he's going to do when he catches it before he's even caught it. And he's misread it and he's ended up putting it in his own net. And like I said, in the last four games, with fast four meetings of these two teams, there's been a goal in the first 5 minutes. And again, tonight, it was a fast start from Liverpool. You take it, an own goal. But it'll be a disappointment for the goalkeeper, because we praised him a lot at the start, didn't we?
Yeah, we certainly did. We'll move on to the equaliser, which was really good work from Ollie Watkins, I thought, to tee up Tielemans, who just says, thanks very much. Potentially, Jarrell Kwanza, who obviously redeemed himself a little bit later on with the goal, Phil, maybe he should have done it a little bit better.
I thought Jarrell was magnificent tonight. I was saying to Steve, he's my man of the match. The way he's played, the passes he plays into midfield are quick and they're sharp. But he was just caught a little bit defensively there. But it's a young kid going up against
Completely.
An experienced player. And Watkins just got the better of him. And he's pulled it back. And when he pulled it back, you're thinking, hopefully a Liverpool player will be here to get it away. But there was nothing but Tielemans running in. Drills her into the bottom. Nothing anybody could have done once it goes to Tielemans. But unfortunately, Joel got caught on that one.
I mean, we can, as Ronnie says, he's been beyond outstanding throughout the whole season. And we'll hear from him, I think, a little bit later
Again, he'll be disappointed in terms of how he's defended it. 1v1 in a wide area as a centre-back. You have to be able to be comfortable enough in this day and age to be able to go 1v1 in a wide area. I think he's misread it. And Watkins has actually gave him a little bit of turn of pace and done brilliant. And Watkins actually does well to get his head up to cut it back to Tielemans, because Endo actually gets blocked on the penalty spot and it comes back to him. And it's a great strike, and once it goes back to the edge of the box and he hits it as cleanly as he does, it ends up in the back of the net. But, you know, again, an individual performance for such a young kid, it's a real confidence booster for him going forward.
Yeah, absolutely. Cody Gakpo, of course, it was, who got Liverpool second. It was a wonderful move that leads to the goal. Obviously, it goes to VAR for what seemed like an age. I think it was over 3 minutes that it got debated. Yeah. Did you think it was offside or on?
I wasn't sure. And you're waiting for ages and ages and ages.
You just change your mind multiple times while you're looking at it.
Is he leaning forward? Is his foot gone past? And then you're just hoping the lines come up properly for you. But it was there was a load of passes before it went out to Mo Salah. And once Mo cut inside and he's played a great ball over to Diaz, hasn't he? And then you're hoping, where's the fullback? Where's the fullback? You need him come up on the outside, and Gomez has got there right at the right time.
Yeah.
Just lays it into him, Diaz. You're hoping Joe Gomez puts her in the bottom corner, but the keeper gets a touch on it. And Gakpo knocks it into an empty net. But that was the sort of football Liverpool were playing. And they were cutting them up at times.
Yeah.
And it's great to watch when they are in full flow, Liverpool. And that was an extremely good goal.
I think the boss might well say it later on, amongst other things, but I think that is the kind of goal that he absolutely loves watching from his team.
Yeah,
right, back to front and brilliant movement.
And ultimately, normally you'd see an Andy Robertson on the overlap or a Trent on the overlap to that. But again, Joe Gomez timed his run perfectly, has the effort, and again, good striker following in, parries it into his path, and he sticks it away. And let's say Gakpo, the last few weeks has started to come a wee bit to life, and I watched a little bit of an interview with him and Jurgen and Pep the other day on YouTube, and it was just to say that, you know, probably over trying, overthinking what he's actually doing, and just relax a little bit, and you can see that in the last couple of games that he's more relaxed, and he's been rewarded with that, really.
Yeah, it's a really interesting interview that you can see actually the full thing on LFC TV Go, but I think that the boss is kind of saying that they had a chat, didn't they? And he was almost, as you say, sort of maybe overthinking what he was trying to do. And sometimes you just have to let go, which is probably one of the hardest things to mentally let go. And just,
it's a bit like Darwin Nunes. You know, calm down now and again. You know, he's making these runs. He made a run for the goal. Yes, he's only marginally offside, but he didn't have to go that early. He's got to just relax a little bit before he makes his runs into them positions, as Gakpo looked as if he has done lately. Relax, calms himself down a bit, and he's playing much better football.
I think so. And you might have been different, Ronnie, but when I come to Liverpool, you sort of feel within yourself you have to try and do something a little bit different. And it took me 2 or 3 weeks to realise what got me here. And that's maybe now what Gakpo was at. He was maybe over-trying things, and he was trying things that wasn't in his game. And that's why Jurgen said to him, relax, be yourself. And now he's starting to get that confidence, and he's starting to play the way that Gakpo can play, and he's getting the rewards for it.
I suppose it's that thing, isn't it, when you're not maybe starting as regularly as you'd like Darwin Nunes, that, you know, when you get that chance, you feel you have to give 150% and go for everything, and sometimes that can almost be too much, whereas when you're getting your regular starts, which Cody has got more of in recent weeks, you relax a little bit and you feel like almost that the pressure's not quite there to impress.
When Darwin's coming on, you can see him on the side of the pitch and he's just raring to go, just let me on, I want to get on, I want to get on. He needs to look at that. But as you were saying, Gakpo has now realised what he needs to do, where he needs to go, how much he needs to. He doesn't have to go 110% every second of the game. There's times when you can calm down, sit in a position for 5 minutes, don't move out of there, don't let them get down that side. He's learning. It takes you a good amount of time to learn.
Yeah, he turned 25 last week, Cody Gakpo. He's just become a dad as well for the first time. So he's maturing off and on the pitch.
Yeah, there's a lot goes into just being a footballer. A lot of things going off the pitch. Like you say, having a baby for the first time, coming to a new club, takes time to settle. I like him as a footballer. I think he's intelligent. He loves to come and link the play. But when he comes to link, he needs runners in behind. Salah needs to run in behind. Diaz has to run in behind. So, again, he's a good football player. But like I say, because the goals maybe weren't coming, he's probably over-trying a little bit and trying to do things that's not natural, normal for him. So, in the last few weeks, he's starting to get the rewards for that because Jurgen obviously had that chat with him and seems more capable and real focused on his game.
It's certainly been effective. 5 goals in his last 6 starts. So, you know, when you're talking about the potential new manager coming in and he's looking at players and these players are playing for a starting spot at the start of next season, he'll be right up there in his thoughts.
You know with footballers, there's footballers, when the manager's there, like Klopp's there at the moment, the ones who plays mostly are not too happy that he's leaving. But the ones who don't play all the time, are a little bit glad because there's a new manager coming in and I may have a chance of playing more often than I did under Jürgen. Great, great man, great manager, but if you're not playing, you want to see something else happen that might get you a game. And I think there's a few Liverpool players who are on the bench and coming on and going, we have to show something. Mm. We have to show the manager next year that this is us. We're still here as well. It's not just that 11 that are out there. We're also here.
Well, there was a moment, I think, where you almost couldn't understand in my notes here. I'm just reading how Villa didn't score because it went right across, didn't it? I think it was various players. Yeah. Ollie Watkins, I think, could have tapped it in, but they didn't manage to get that goal before half-time. Obviously, then the second half starts almost as well as the first half did, with Jarrell Kwanza this time getting the goal. And what a moment. In amongst a disappointing night, what a moment for him.
It was like Charlie was whipping it in with his left foot. Elliot's whipped it into that far post. And he's got up so well and guided it back to the far corner. The keeper comes that way, you always head it back the other way. For me, it was what he deserved tonight for his overall performance. He deserved the goal. It was a magnificent header. He's done so well, the kid. It was a great, great goal.
Yeah, first Premier League goal for Jarrell Kwanza. I imagine he's dreamed about that since he was a tiny.
Yeah, I think, like you say, when you've come through the youth academy and you're getting your opportunity, it's a proud moment for him. But you know, as an individual, as a player, you look at the team and think, you know, drawing that game is a huge blow to them, and you obviously want to have finished on a winning team. But for the header, it's brilliant technique, great header to go back across the goal, and let's say put Liverpool in cruise control, and you know, just couldn't see the game out in the end.
Yeah, you mentioned obviously the ball by Harvey Elliott. So Harvey Elliott assisting Jarrell Kwanza, the first time two English players, aged 21 or younger, have combined for a Premier League goal since Steven Gerrard assisted Michael Owen against Blackburn back in 2001. I mean, they are big shoes to fill, but either way, both their future prospects, just so bright.
Well, I think if the two of them have half the career that Michael and Steven had,
I think they'd be pretty happy with that, wouldn't they?
I think they'd be very happy.
In terms of the Harvey Elliott, let's speak about him, because we're actually going to hear from him as well, I've just been told, in a few minutes' time. But the boss said, I think it might have been the same interview actually as the Cody Gakpo one, where he said that one of his only regrets this season is maybe not playing Harvey Elliott a little bit more and giving him some more opportunities, which is interesting to hear him say that.
Yeah, but you get a feel of what the players are and where he's at. You're asking a lot. Again, we talk about age, but I think when you get into that Liverpool team, I think age doesn't really become, because of what you're playing with. You train every day. But again, Curtis has had his time in the team, come out, gone back in. Harvey Elliott's gone in, come out. It's a great learning curve for them. But the biggest thing that the younger players can have is that you're going to trust them. And a big thing, when you've got a manager that trusts you, that gives you confidence straight away. And it's not just the lads that are running around. That there's, you know, your Dans, your Kumases, they'll all play little parts within the season. Obviously, that big day at Wembley, they all could be part of it. But you know, I think Harvey Elliott's season has been really good. And you know, again, it's now for him to go and be a consistent player for Liverpool. And can he be a regular starter? And that's what he'll be looking to do next season as well.
Yeah, that will surely be his main objective for next season, Ronnie. He's certainly doing his cause no harm these last few weeks.
What were the stats we come up with last week? He's played 126 games or something.
Yeah, it was phenomenal.
And he's only 20 years of age.
Yeah,
and
just
he's also been
21,
out for ages with a broken leg.
Yeah.
He's had a lot of minutes and a lot of games for Liverpool. I know Jürgen is saying that I probably should have used him more, but he was more effective throughout this season when he came off the bench. A few games he started and it just didn't seem to be as good as him coming off the bench. I thought he started very, very well tonight. He kept things going, passing it well, went out of the game a little bit, then came back into it. But we forget, like, he's 21. You know, he's not a seasoned pro, although he's been there that long.
He talks
about, I'm one of the older ones now. He's 21 years of age. But the lad's got a good future ahead of him at Liverpool. He'll play an awful lot more games.
He certainly has. It was a bit busy all night, rather, for VAR. Ollie Watkins thinks he scored. That gets ruled out. Harvey Elliott thinks he scored. That gets ruled out. And then, of course, the two late goals, which we touched on. The first one at McAllister, obviously, loses the ball essentially, and he loves a shot, Jerome, from all areas of the pitch, and when it falls to him, you know what he's going to do, and unfortunately, he gets in the goal.
Yeah, unfortunately for Liverpool, he's in that position, but again, you know, McAllister, you know, you'd expect a player of his quality to deal with it a little bit better than he does. The pass is loose and it goes and it breaks from it and Duran goes and finishes it. But that brings him in back into the game. But that's when senior players should get a grip of the game and get a grip of the team to say, hold on a minute, we've got 5 minutes to go plus injury time. Let's go tight, let's go narrow, force the game wide, allow cross, get the cross in the bottom, we'll deal with the crosses. But again, we're still expansive, trying to go for that fourth goal. And then, you know, they win the ball in the middle of the park and they're driving with it and it becomes a deflection and unfortunately there's nothing you can do in the end.
Yeah, there was a big slice of fortune about the equaliser. I think it went in off his thigh, didn't it? But, you know, it's Liverpool have put themselves in that position, I guess.
It's the thing about, was it what Klopp said at the start, rock and roll football or whatever he said. I don't think you can keep going. It's like we're going to score more than you, but you can score if you want, but we're going to score again. I think there are times in games that you've got to try and kill it off and forget about another goal. You're 3-1 up. Let's get it in the corners. We'll chase it down. We'll keep it in there for as long as we can. We'll get everybody behind the ball. Let them try and break us down. If we want them, we can attack, but don't go with too many forward. We'll go with two or three maybe and keep everyone behind the ball. There's ways to kill a game off, and I think we've lost that art over the last few games of the season.
Just a quick break in today's show to remind you that there are two series of We Are Liverpool available to listen to wherever you get your podcasts. It's where you'll hear from current and former players about their lives off the pitch and career on it. We've got Andy Robertson's car-sharing stories with his brother, Lucas Leiva's humbling phone call to Jurgen Klopp after he left the club, how Curtis Jones celebrated that goal against Everton in the FA Cup, why Dirk Kuyt played a key role in Luis Suarez signing from Ajax, and lots more fascinating insights and stories ready for you to hear. Every episode of We Are Liverpool is available now, and make sure to give us a follow so you don't miss any future shows. Right, let's get back to today's show. Well, as mentioned, Jarrell Kwanza's goal tonight was his first for Liverpool in the Premier League. And we can hear from him now. He's been speaking with LFC TV's Rob Jones.
Well, Jarrell, is that a bittersweet feeling, your first Premier League goal, but really gutted not to hold on for 3 points there?
Yeah, I'm definitely gutted. Just disappointed, really. I think we were in complete control of the game majority of the way through. I think, and once they get a goal, they get the taste for it, and yeah, that's what ultimately what today was.
And I guess even more difficult to take given the manner of that third goal. I mean, there's nothing that Ali could do about it, and maybe even as a backline, he just takes a huge deflection off their own player.
Yeah, it's one of them that happens in football, a little bit of stroke of luck, but that's what teams need, that's what we need at times, and we've had it at times, so I can't really pick that goal apart too much. But yeah, I think it comes before that. We've got to kill the game and we've got to make them run, and that was a story today.
Let's reflect on the positives then. Your first ever Premier League goal. Talk me through it.
I just saw Virg block the man to obviously keep me onside, and yeah, it's just about getting a good contact on it, really. And yeah, I didn't really see it, to be honest. I was probably twisted the other way, but when I saw it go in, yeah, I was buzzing, really. But yeah, probably can't reflect on that too much today because I'm just gutted we conceded three, and yeah, definitely something to work on.
Was it a plan from you two centre-halves to go a little bit wider on Luca Dean, who's probably one of their smallest players, against you, who's so tall? Was that something you spoke about pre-match?
Not particularly, to be honest. It was just we always try and stick to how we play and stick to our principles. So, yeah, we just obviously we're a high-pressing team and we want to win the ball as high as we can. So that's why you probably saw us wide.
I know you're gutted about the result, and rightly so, but we're coming towards the end of your first full season as a Liverpool first-team player. Give me a sense of how much you've taken from this season, how much you've learnt.
Yeah, I've learnt so much. It's been so valuable for my career, to be honest. I think, I can't thank the gaffer enough for trusting me in these games and yeah, I played against some of the best players in the world and played alongside of some of the best players in the world. So, yeah, hopefully that continues and I just keep pushing on and getting better and better.
Just finally, you mentioned the gaffer. It's going to be some day on Sunday, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm sure it will be. Anfield will be buzzing. Yeah, hopefully we can get a win for him and, yeah, probably be an emotional day because of what he's done for the club and what he's done for the fans and especially for the players as well, and especially like myself and some of the younger lads, the opportunities given us. And, yeah, I think it's going to be a good day, hopefully.
Thanks, Joe.
Thank you.
Cheers, mate. Well done.
Yeah, naturally, I think that the disappointment of tonight is at the moment overshadowing his first Premier League goal. But when the dust maybe settles on that in the next few days, I'm sure he'll allow himself a little internal celebration.
I think it'll be earlier than tomorrow. I think it'll be as he's going home on the coach or whatever they go home on. He'll be sitting there on his own thinking about it. I've done it. I've scored for Liverpool. Been dreamt since he was 5 or 6 years of age. Great experience for him that he has done it in the first league goal. But hopefully he'll have many more. But and the way he's playing at the moment, he will have many more chances to score goals for Liverpool. I love his, for me, one of his best things, yes, he's a good defender, but this passing from the back into midfield is so crisp and sharp that the ball gets in there to midfielder quickly, and then he can do whatever he needs to do or whatever he wants to do because the ball's been played in so quickly to him. His defending has been first class. He was disappointed with himself at West Ham because after the game when he left Antonio get in behind him to score the equaliser or for them to go ahead. He was disappointed then in his interview. Disappointed again that the way things have gone tonight. But it's got all his career. He's going to have disappointments. Yeah, it's not going to be all plain sailing, that's for sure.
What he can't be disappointed with overall is this season. It's almost a fairy tale when you look on loan at Bristol Rovers last season and then now he's competing with and sometimes keeping out of the team someone who played for France in a World Cup final in Ibu Konate. It's a quite remarkable scenario. 26th start of the season tonight.
Yeah, and again, as a manager that's in League Two, it shows how good a loan is for development. We can play under 21 football and we can play, you know, there. But I think getting these young players out on loan at an early age, getting experience, playing against men, the dying arts of the game, allows him to get an experience at Bristol Rovers, does well, and goes back and plays a number of games for Liverpool's first team. And then becomes, if you look at it now, will be one of four centre-backs next year for Liverpool. And his career now is on a different trajectory where it was a year ago. So it's down to him, but also, again, it comes down to the manager trusting him and getting the opportunity. But when he gets the opportunity, he's taking it with both hands. And then tonight, like I say, when he switches his phone on, he'll be getting plenty of messages. And the game, the moment, he'll look at that. He'll sit on the bus on the way home and he'll look at it again because the Sky TV will be on. And it'll be a proud moment for him and his family. But what he will do is he'll think, I want more. Yeah. And the only way he has to do more is by performing well, coming back fit for pre-season, and then having a right go at it next year. Because, like you say, he's keeping out some top defenders at the moment. And, you know, Joe Matip's injury is obviously allowing his opportunity as well. Yep. So you need a little bit of luck, and he said that. Sometimes you need a bit of luck in football, and he's got that, he's had that, but he's earned it. And fair play to the kid, he's shown the character that you need to do to play, be a Liverpool player.
He's also learning off some of the best players around. Like, you've got Trent at right back, and, you know, Van Dijk next to him, you know, and Alisson behind him. You know, you cannot but learn off these players, if you watch them in training and watch what they do, where their movements are. And I'm sure he's taking it in every day in training just to play with such great players.
Well, listen, it was a pretty sweet ball, wasn't it, that teed up Jarrell Kwanzaa for his first Premier League goal tonight. And that ball was put in by Harvey Elliott. He is speaking with Rob Jones.
Harvey, a point, but I guess the feeling is it should have been all three.
Yeah, definitely. I think the last 10 minutes just simply wasn't good enough. We played into their hands, you know, and caused ourselves problems. And against a great team in Villa, that's the consequences. But, you know, a point's a point, not what we wanted, as you've said. But, you know, we can build in it and put things right on the weekend.
When you said that you played into their hands in the final 10 minutes, how did you do that?
You know, they had a clear structure and a clear plan. And, you know, to play into the middle, and I think, you know, just apply as much pressure as possible. And, you know, unfortunately we couldn't deal with it, but you know, it's just one of them things we can reflect on and work on, you know, in this next week leading up to the game, and, you know, put it right in the weekend.
When the time comes to look back at the season as a whole, will it be results like this, just too many draws, as a 10th draw of the season today, that even two or three of those become wins, you're still right in the mix come Sunday?
I think so, yeah. You know, we can all feel it, and, you know, especially this kind of end part of the season. As you said, you know, we've had too many draws where there should have been wins. And, you know, that's just, unfortunately, the way our season has gone. But, you know, I keep saying it's something that we can reflect on, and, you know, we've been in this situation before. So if it comes to it again next season or the seasons after, you know, we've been in the situation and we know how to battle it out.
Let's talk about some of the positives of the night. Jarrell Kwanza's first Premier League goal. He really deserves it after the season he's put in.
Absolutely. You know, Jarrell's been amazing throughout this whole season. You know, his first proper season in the Premier League, and, you know, the way he's played, you know, and the way he's conducted himself has just been top drawer, and, you know, no one deserves it more than him. You know, when the ball hit the net, I was delighted, and he deserved every moment of it. And, you know, you can see in his passion and expression, you know, he's been working hard to have a moment like that, and especially in front of the away crowd, you know, it's just an amazing feeling for him, and, you know, I'm so happy.
He just said something that I'm sure you'd reflect of his own gratitude, that the manager has trusted youth so many times. I know that sometimes this season he didn't have too much of a choice, but so many times he's given young lads the opportunity and not many of you have let him down.
Absolutely. You know, the gaffer, we can't thank him enough, and this is the least we can do for him. You know, the achievements that, you know, he's achieved as a manager and for us as players, you know, and the experiences that we've gained, you know, we can never say thank you enough to him. And, you know, as I said, it's the least we can do is go out and perform for him and put our hearts on the line. You know, he's gave us many opportunities and, you know, turned us into men. So, yeah, you know, there's another game on the weekend, but it's going to be a very emotional one for everyone.
It is, isn't it? And I think that it's probably one that everyone involved with Liverpool wants to celebrate. Obviously, we'd all love to be going into Sunday with a title still to play for, but he has done so much for so many people. It's going to be a wonderful day.
Oh, yeah, you know, absolutely. It's going to be an emotional day as well. You know, us as players and I think us as a club can't thank the coaching staff and himself enough. And I think the least we can do is, you know, go out and put in a top performance for him and give him the best possible send-off. As you know, I know as a club we're going to do that with our fans behind us as well. You know, there's only one man that deserves that in this world, and that's the boss. And, you know, for us as players, we just want to go out and play the best possible football we can on our home turf, you know, and come to the emotions after the game.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks, Harvey. Cheers.
Yeah, it is all eyes on Sunday now for Liverpool against Wolves. You can hear the disappointment in his voice. He's obviously quite flat tonight, Harvey Elliott. Pleased, of course, for his friend Jarrell Kwanza. But I think that quote sums it up when he says too many draws this season that should have been wins. Liverpool 10. You look at Arsenal, 5 draws over the course of the season. Manchester City 7. And it's fine margins at the end of a campaign that defines it.
Yeah, again, it's, let's say, too many draws is, it's not just draws, it's how the draws have come, you know, giving ourselves too many opportunities to come back and things like that. But I think over the overall Champions League football, if you want to narrow it down to, it's Champions League football again for, again, the new coach coming in. But all I could say is that this group of players have been incredible over the last few years in terms, you know, of winning titles and winning big trophies. It's an end of a cycle and an end of an era at this football club. But again, like anything, great managers are left before. Another great manager's going to leave, and there'll be great managers coming in the building, you know, as well. So the institution of Liverpool will keep going. Jurgen will be part of that. These group of players will be part of it. And change happens on a natural thing. And it's a decision that everybody's come to that it's right for Jurgen to leave the club. That's what he feels is the right time. And you have to respect that. But, you know, the disappointment, again, if you just put it on tonight, is that the way that they conceded the late goals will be something that that will annoy them for the rest of the summer, really.
Yeah, listen, if we focus on tonight, we are going to feel a bit deflated. But when you step back, as Charlie says, when you're looking at the future, I think that the boss leaves the side in a very healthy position. And again, big picture-wise, there can be no doubt it is progress from last season.
it's huge progress throughout his whole career at Liverpool. Klopp has made, he's built the club up again. It was a bad spell when he took over, and it was like, you know, this has got to get better. How can this get better? And it wasn't long before people realised, hang on, this fella's different. He's raising, everybody's got hope again. Everybody wants to go and support Liverpool. Everybody wants to go and watch the matches. And he's not just this squad of players. He's built squads up before. He's brought in Mane and Bobby Firmino. Those players have come through Champions League. This is a new set of players after, what, 10, 11 years with some of the same players, had Mane and all them. But he's brought pride back to Liverpool again, and you're not turning up at games thinking, oh, well, this is not going to be fun, this is not going to be good. Everybody wants to go to Anfield. Everybody loves Jurgen Klopp. They want to go to Anfield. They want to watch Liverpool play good football. And he's the man who brought this all back.
He certainly has, and we're going to hear from him in a few minutes' time. First, though, let's get the reaction of Tash Dowie now, two-time WSL winner with Liverpool Women. She is with Rob Jones.
Well, down in the tunnel here at Villa Park after what has been an extraordinary evening here. 3-3 at finish. It could have been 7-all, could have been 6-1 Liverpool, it could have been anything. But I think there is a sense from both players we've spoken to this evening that they should have seen it through with 10 minutes to go.
100%. Yeah, it was, for a neutral, it was a great game. You know, like you said, spot on, it could have been 7-7. I think both teams had chances. I think the most frustrating thing for Liverpool would be that when we went 3-1 up, Qantas header, I think for that start of the second half, we were in real control. You know, and then I actually believe that the changes kind of disturbed that momentum. And look, I understand why Klopp's done it, you know, get fresh legs on, you know, rotate. But I think we were in control. And for that, then four changes, I just then, it gave Aston Villa that momentum. And, you know, the sub that's come on and scored the two goals is, remind me of
Duran.
Yeah, Duran, like, what an impact, you know, to come on, you know, and then obviously score the brace. But yeah, I think overall, I believe Liverpool probably deserved the win, but credit to Aston Villa, you know, showed real characters, come back into the game and probably, truthfully, had more to play for in the end, maybe.
Well, I was going to say, actually, do you think we saw two teams where one, yeah, obviously they're playing for the manager and they're playing in a Liverpool shirt, so it still matters, but Aston Villa have something huge to try and achieve here, and maybe that showed in the final 10 minutes.
Absolutely, and the crowd were electric as well, you know, that they really showed belief. Unai Emre, pure energy from start to finish. You know, I think he was kicking and heading every single ball.
He was on the pitch.
Absolutely. You know, and credit to them. It's not easy. You know, Liverpool are a top team. So to be 3-1 down and to have that impact and, you know, desire to go on and try and win the game in the end, you know, you could probably say actually they deserve the point then in the end with that kind of attitude. And they've given themselves the best possible chance now qualifying for Champions League. And yeah, I think Liverpool, we know, were guaranteed third spot. You know, in spells, it was a great performance. But yeah, I think deep down, we'll feel like it's more, yeah, 2 points dropped. But yeah, great game again. Really enjoyed it.
And I think that's probably, again, one of the wider points you'd make over the season is there have been a fraction too many days like this and spells in games like that final 10 minutes where Liverpool haven't had the control they've had, particularly in that title-winning season.
Absolutely. I think if you compare Liverpool to a City and Arsenal, that has been it. And I think that we've been known as chaos. You know, Pep says it a lot. He loves to cause chaos and he loves players that cause chaos. But I think at times, actually, that's gone against us. You know, I think it's great when it's going well for you, but then at times you have to be able to almost calm the chaos down a little bit. And, you know, it was too easy to score against, truthfully. It was the same against Tottenham, 4-0 up. It should be complete control. Today, 3-1 up, should be complete control. And unfortunately, it's not, you know, and we can see goals way too easy. And I think that's something for next season that has to be addressed.
And I think that some of that comes with time and leadership, isn't it? We still forget because of what they've achieved. It's a young midfield, young Jarrell Kwanza, when they've had Joel Matip there so many times over the years, that these players will only grow from experiences like this.
Absolutely, 100%, spot on. You know, you learn from the mistakes, you know, and it's hard, and as a player you never like to make mistakes, but these players will learn from these moments massively. And I think moving on to next season, new manager, you know, obviously different mentality, different playing style, everything. You know, I think these players, you know, this year in particular has been a massive positive in my opinion moving forward.
Got your hanky ready for Sunday?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I just saw Jürgen then, and yeah, it's going to be emotional. But, you know, I think let's really give him a nice send-off at Anfield, and it will be anyway, no matter what happens, win, lose, draw, you know, it's going to be an incredible day.
It does feel odd, though, doesn't it, to say there is one game left under Jürgen Klopp?
Honestly, it does, yeah. It's sad, but, you know, we're very, well, both of us privileged to have been, you know, in the stands watching him manage this team, you know, privileged to have met him, spoke to him, and, yeah, it's going to be a new era, but, yeah, hopefully a great occasion.
Tash, thank you very much. Thank you. Indeed, so many times over the years it has been Liverpool against Wolves on the final day of the season. Hopefully the Jürgen Klopp era will end with a victory on Sunday.
Well, we can hear from the boss now. Here's what Jürgen Klopp had to say to the media in his post-match press conference.
Jürgen, frustrating that you put yourself in such a dominant position?
Oh, I don't feel frustrated today, obviously. Just, I know, maybe I should, but I just don't. I'm really happy. Look, we all saw these kind of games before. We all saw games where one team is playing for absolutely everything, and qualifying for Champions League means for Aston Villa probably everything, and one team was already fixed in the position they are in. And the challenge we had today, we had to show character and attitude, and the boys showed a sensational character and sensational attitude. I love that you can dominate a game like we did here today and against a team. Unai Emery team is historically, sensationally well organized. They wanted to be aggressive, they wanted to go for us, and they couldn't because we were that flexible. I liked that a lot. We score early with some scrappy thing. I don't know exactly how the ball went over the line. Didn't see it properly from my position and couldn't watch it back yet. Their first chance is then the equalizer, but around that we control it, we play well, we create, we mix it up really well, in behind, in between. Liked it a lot. Adapted to the ideas they had with, we improved our protection, let me say it like that, because that was always a counter-attacking threat, was obviously there, but we adjusted that, it was good. 2-1, nice goal. Second half, again, good. Not the big change that they all of a sudden push us back or whatever. 3-1, wonderful. Then we get a bit tired and the organization gets a bit loose and they create too much. That's a moment where you can change. So what we did, have immediately after the change, 2-3 good situations. One really good situation, I think, with Dom in the 6-yard box. Yeah, and then we make that mistake for the, I was called a 3-1, and then we make the mistake for the 3-2, the ball away there. And then the gates were open, and then it was Aston Villa really smelling the chance again. And they took the point, and that's now how it is. They're not great, but you can make of it what you want. That's the story of the season or whatever. I don't see like that. If the story of the season, for me, then the story of the season, that the boys have a really, really good character and a sensational attitude. That's why we were here today, and that's why we had now, I don't even know, 79 or whatever points, a lot. I know nobody wants to hear that, but being this season the third best team in the league from where we are coming from is a statement as well as improvement with a lot of changes. I like it. Not over the moon about it, but obviously since a week or two we have to accept that we cannot be the best or the second best team in the league. So, and that's a good basis for the future, and that's all you can ask for then.
What was it like for you after the final whistle in front of the away end for the final time?
I enjoyed it always. I enjoyed it today. I still don't feel that it's the last time or whatever. I know it's the last time. It just doesn't feel it. I tried. I'm obviously more professional than I thought. No, because I was completely in the game. Didn't think a second about it's my last game, away game or whatever. No, I had no movie going through nothing. And thinking about my first game, somebody told me, I know it's Tottenham, but somebody asked me about that. No, I was completely in the game. But I appreciate so much what these guys, boys and girls, are doing. The away fans were always like absolutely insane. What they did, where they were, or everywhere we asked them to travel a lot over the years. So it was a wonderful relationship. It is a wonderful relationship, and I always try to show my appreciation, and today the boys showed that as well with the way they played.
Jürgen, you sort of say it's not the story of the season, but in terms of things like the number of chances you've created almost consistently throughout the season, the way you've had lots of scores, you know, Harvey Elliott coming through, Jarrell Kwanzaa coming through, did you see some of the good bits of the season, if you see what I mean?
You know, I'm allowed to see just the good bits of this, of it. So why should I now? If you carry on, you have to think about what didn't go well, because then you have to make changes, adjustments, whatever. But that's obviously not me. So the good things, as I said it, before. Like, it's interesting, is Harvey came through. Harvey's already, I think, his third season, if not the fourth. It's already a while here. He was already best player and then badly injured and stuff like this. But yes. Good game today, by the way. Jarrell, yes. Connor, yes. James McCallum, Bobby Clark, Kate Gordon, long injured, back now, really good. Stefan Bacetic. So the basis is there, and all the other big guns, really, basis is there. New influences always help. That's how it is. And so I'm, yeah. We did what we could. If we could have done better, we probably would have. Let me say it like this. Now we are where we are, and that's it. I saw him this morning, and he told me he's ready to train from tomorrow on. So that's the situation.
I imagine his diary's quite full this week, Ronnie, but you know, you've got final training sessions, he's going to have to say goodbye to everyone at the training ground, which I'm sure will be emotional, a final press conference as well. It does seem extremely surreal that we've only got 6 days left of him as Liverpool manager.
It's something you never would have thought happening.
No.
It was when he came out and said it first, we all started going back to when Shankly said he was leaving, and the people were getting spoke to in the middle of Liverpool. It was like someone had died. But Jurgen Klopp has done the very, very same thing at Liverpool. He's built it up. He's built it up again. He deserves his day. If he's going to leave and he says he's tired, okay, fair enough. It's for your health. Well done. Go and sort yourself out. I hope he comes back into football sometime very soon. Hopefully it's not in England. Hopefully it's abroad somewhere. But he's been a breath of fresh air for this football club, and he deserves everything he gets on Sunday.
Yeah, I very much doubt the world of football has seen the last of Jurgen Klopp. It is difficult to put into words, isn't it, just how much he has done for this club and how much he will be missed.
Yeah, of course. I think you can put him up there with Shankly. I think he's one of the greats. You look at the connection between the supporters and him and his staff and the players, this generation of players. It's special to see. But again, I said before, great manager left here before. Yeah. There'll be great managers coming to this building, hoping the next one comes in and has a special time like Jurgen does and is here for a number of years. Because, like you said, as a player, we were lucky to play for Liverpool. You know, he's lucky that he's managed Liverpool, and he's been part of the history of being a manager at Liverpool. So whoever comes in next, big shoes to fill.
It is.
But whoever comes in will have to be their own man, and they have to get that connection with the supporters, because they know this city is everything about Liverpool, and they have to understand that. And he understood that quite quickly.
He did, and ultimately you can tell, even if we're not ready to let him go, I think he seems very at peace with the decision he's made, which is the important thing, and he's earned that right.
Yeah, he has earned that right, and he does seem very much at peace with the whole thing. He knows what's happening. He knows it's going to be a great day out Sunday. He knows everybody's going to turn up to see him. I wish him well.
And that is it from this season's penultimate episode of The Reaction. We will be back on Sunday, though, with more analysis and exclusive interviews as well from Anfield in a special edition reflecting on Jurgen Klopp's final match in charge of the club against Wolves. Until then, if you haven't already, please do give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts to make sure you don't miss an episode when they drop.